The Bert Show.
All right, I need a little refresher course on this. Okay, so she and her best friend are neighbors, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And she and her husband and her best friend and her husband all hang out like in a group together. There's four of them. They're all hanging out. They're going everywhere together.
They've traveled together.
They've gone on vacation. Yeah, they're good buddies and they're in the same neighborhood.
So if memory serves me correctly, she and her husband or her husband has just been asked to clean the neighbor's computer, get some stuff off there and help me out.
Because the kid
was going to use it for school and it had viruses or whatever on it. And obviously this woman and her husband have some experience in, one of the two of them have some experience in fixing computers. So it's a laptop. So they drop it off at the house.
And Chelsea and her husband find all sorts of like pictures of her on there. From, like, just them at pool parties together or just hanging out. And the dude has made him awfully sexual. And he started to write, like, some text on him, which was really naughty.
He changed the file names to, like, what he wanted to do to her.
She's so weird.
And it was pictures of her when she didn't know she was being photographed. So she knew they were at, like, say, some kid's birthday party. But she wasn't posing for the picture. Like, he was just taking pictures of her across the party, across the barbecue, whatever it was. And there were all these in there. And her husband found it. And they were both so disturbed by it, they didn't know what to do.
So some theories came in that maybe this dude wanted them to actually see the pictures.
But it was the wife who gave them the computer.
Okay, so we can eliminate that one.
Yeah, the wife said, hey, I want to give this computer to our son, but it's not working well or whatever. Clean it up.
I think we were all sort of questioning. And I think Chelsea was also like, why haven't we done something about it already? Like, mm-hmm. Why hasn't the husband, his knee-jerk reaction should have been to go over and beat the dude's ass, right?
Right.
Well, they did delete those pictures, which is right. Like they deleted the evidence to take to the husband.
All right. I think that covers it, right, Chelsea?
Yes.
Did we get it all right there?
Yes.
Yes.
Unfortunately, remembered every gross detail.
Yes.
So tell us what some of the dialogue has been like with you and your husband since we had you on last.
Well, honestly, I feel like I'm going to walk into a lion's den right now, but...
No, you haven't done anything.
We have decided, and we have talked and talked about it, and we have decided not to say anything right now.
You out your damn
no
mind.
Way.
Well, here's... The main reason is there are so... The kids all involved, and mm-hmm. I truly just love her. And the hard, it's just so hard. But the funniest part is since the computer's been returned, there has not been very much interaction between the two families.
So you think he realized what?
Personally, yes, I do. Because then I happened upon him at school one day getting our kids, and he was very awkward.
Now, were you picking up the kids and he was underneath the bench trying to take a picture of your skirt?
Yeah.
Now, she said, what are you doing down there? He said, nothing.
Just hanging out.
Tying my shoe.
Nothing. Lost contact.
So there really has not been. So part of us feels like he may know. But as of now, we just don't, since there are kids involved and we feel totally different if it were a couple with no children, or if they were just dating, it would be so much easier. But with the fact that the kids, it just makes it so much harder.
Mm-hmm.
If we see them all together at some point and the camera does come out, we have decided then it's...
That we might do something.
Then it will happen.
Yeah. Then maybe. And then here's what we've done.
Think about what we're going to do next.
Here's what we've got. We've got big black rectangles that say censored on it. And we're just going to hold them up in front of my private areas, my bosoms, and my genitals.
That actually is a good idea.
Now, did we have the conversation? We may have asked you this the first time and I forgot. But do you think there's a chance that she gave y'all the computer to fix up? And he didn't know that she gave it to you? Like, she just, I mean, is that how it went down? So all of a sudden he's panicked and there's nothing he can do?
Well, it did start out that way. And then he did find out and he then knew, yes, that we were getting the computer.
But did he find out before you got the computer or did he find out once y'all had it?
He found out right when it was going to be delivered to us.
So, like, she was putting it in the car to bring it to your house, and he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
All right.
So there was no stopping it at that point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. No! He jumps on the hood.
Right.
And she's swerving.
My curiosity is how you felt when you saw him face to face. Like, how did you act towards him?
Turned on.
But it was so, like, I was not expecting, obviously, to see him, but, you know, my first reaction was, you know, hi, how are you? And, you know, no hugs, no nothing.
How is your husband living with this? Like, as soon as your husband sees him, I am really surprised he's being tolerant about it.
Well, he hasn't. They haven't seen each other.
Okay.
Oh. Gotta have to beat some ass.
And that's kind of, it's a little easier in that regard because the other husband travels so much and is gone a lot, so it's easier for those two not to see each other. And then our husband's just now with both of their work situations have very different schedules.
Hey, Tiffany?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. Go for it.
Oh, Lord.
I am Chelsea. I just don't think that you're being really fair to yourself or fair to your friend. I mean, you're saying all these things about her, the kids and everything. What about your kids? What about your safety? What about her safety?
Yep.
You don't know what kind of person that, you know, she's dealing with, what you're dealing with.
Well,
and if you guys have this particular friendship that's so strong, I mean, I just don't understand it.
Well, I feel kind of different because he has never in person made me feel uncomfortable. He's never been, like, touchy, flirty.
Yeah, but he's secretly wanting to do dirty
well,
things
I know,
to
but
you.
That's where our thing is if he were, like,
have very passive-aggressive.
You know what you need to do to get in your head? You need to go put a black light underneath his computer desk.
No, you don't.
And then you'll start.
It's sad to me that your friend is married to a guy she doesn't even know she's married to. I mean, I feel like you've got to somehow give her the information and then let them decide what to do with the kids and their family and everything else. But it's like you're protecting her, letting her live in this like picture-perfect, cookie-cutter little life that is not real.
And every time they're around you, your friend has no idea that her husband is sort of lusting after you. Nastiness. Now, not everybody thinks you did the wrong thing. Hey, Nina.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
What's up?
It's all you.
I'm good.
All right, now would be a good time to tell us your opinion.
I remember hearing this on the first installment when she first brought the problem up. And I was definitely feeling like they need to distance themselves from that couple because it's just not going to be comfortable around that guy if they don't say anything going forward. And if she said anything, I was like, well, if she says something, she says something. But her argument, I think, is legitimate. This is a guy who she said is a good dad, a good husband. He's a good guy. We all have fantasies, and the way he's displayed his fantasy is totally inappropriate and dangerous. Anyone could have found those pictures, his wife, his children. So
the mailman.
Yeah.
It worked out so that he's kind of got a second chance with his family. He's got a second chance with his marriage. He's got a second chance with his family. But what he's probably going to do is correct the situation on his own.
That's your fantasy.
And distance himself from that couple because he knows. I think he knows he got busted.
And now he'll have another target that he's going to do this with.
Which is sort of what Chelsea said has been happening anyway. He's been distancing himself. So maybe she's right.
Just so you guys know, about 4 minutes ago, I watched last night's U2 concert come in and park itself on Bert's face.
Dude, it's been there since 5:30. I want a little credit because I held out pretty well until 9:38.
But about 5 minutes ago, Happy Mask came off, and Bono walked in here and punched you in the nose.
I brought all these Tylenol today, and I haven't taken one until right now. Here's Jessica. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi, guys. Hi. I'm a first-time caller. Love your show.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Well, I was calling because I just wanted to bring up the point that this may be a sign that he's more likely to cheat on her friend. Maybe a first step if it hasn't gone that far already, especially since he's, quote-unquote, out of town all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't agree that she did the right thing. I don't think they did the right thing. But now they've waited so long that
you know, I don't know if they can do anything anymore, but I think it is naive to assume that, oh, well, now it's over with and he's never going to take pictures of either other women and say nasty things on it. I mean, that's a whole different level of creepy.
Now, here's a different take we didn't think of. Chase?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, and I may have missed something, so I'm just coming in on this morning, but how do you guys know it was the husband that modified the pictures and not the guy's wife?
Oh, that's hot.
Because the wife was the one who gave...
Oh, my God.
The wife was the one who gave them the computer.
It was on the husband's side of the login, where you log in on different things.
He's having his own fantasy now.
It was on his side under some work files.
How do we know it wasn't your husband who put the pictures on the computer?
Never. So you guys are pretty strong, and this is the way you're going to go here. You're just going to let it play out, and once the camera comes out at a pool party or something, that's when you guys have decided that you're going to pull your...
Yeah, we're going to go all for drama then.
You're not going to do nothing. You're not going to do anything.
No, you're not. You're going to suck in your tummy and try to look pretty.
You're going to let this go.
You've proven that you don't do anything.
No, if we see the camera, then it will. And that's what we have said. And that's what my husband said.
You saw the pictures.
You do what you think you
got to
do.
You ain't going to... We know you better than you know you. You're not going to do anything.
I'll call you.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll call you.
Whatever. You know what? We weren't even meant to be together. It's not you, it's me.
I'm
going to support her. Because
I don't even think you have a baby.
I haven't been able to hear one word over the last 3 minutes.
All
right, Chelsea, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
They just decided not going to do anything at all. Let the kids hang out. The husband is going to have a problem with this. The first time he sees them all together at some kind of...
I don't know how he already doesn't have a problem. How long would it take you to walk over and knock on somebody's door, especially if the guy was smaller than you?
Immediately.
If he's bigger than you...
Take me a couple weeks.
Yeah.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
This is a video I found on YouTube yesterday. And before you even get to the audio, just the text comes up and it says this, which is pretty important for you to know before you hear the outgoing message. It says, this is the message that the... I can't even pronounce the name. High school in Queensland, Australia staff voted unanimously to record their school telephone answering machine. So any parent that was calling up in off hours was going to hear this answer, this outgoing message, okay? This is the actual answering machine message for the school. This came about because they implemented a policy requiring students and parents to be responsible for their children's absences and missing homework. The school and teachers are being sued by parents who want their children's failing grades changed to passing grades, even though those children were absent 15 to 30 times during the semester and did not complete enough schoolwork to pass their classes. So you can almost feel how upset the teachers are about this whole thing, right?
Absolutely.
So they recorded this message and left it on the outgoing voicemail.
Hello, you have reached the automated answering service of your school. In order to assist you in connecting to the right staff member, please listen to all the options before making a selection.
Hello.
To lie about why your child is absent, press 1. To make excuses for why your child did not do his homework, press 2. To complain about what we do, press 3. To swear at staff members, press 4. To ask why you didn't get information that has already been enclosed in your newsletter and several flyers that have been mailed to you, press 5. If you want us to raise your child, press 6. If you want to reach out and touch, slap, or hit someone, press 7. To request another teacher for the third time this year, press 8. To complain about bus transportation, press 9. To complain about school lunches, press 0. If you realize this is the real world and your child must be accountable and responsible for his or her own behavior, classwork, and homework, and that it's not the teacher's fault for your child's lack of effort, hang up and have a nice day. If you want this in another language, move to a country that speaks it. Thank you for your interest in public education.
Oh, dang.
Awesome.
Wow. I could say there are teachers listening right now that are hailing that voicemail.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Brilliant.
That's great. Brilliant.
And parents, I bet, are P.O.'d.
Mad about it. I mean, I guess there's this lawsuit and people are very, very passionate about it.
So what are the parents suing for? So their kids, because their kids failed?
Yeah, this is what the text
suing?
Says. It says that this came about because they implemented a policy requiring students and parents to be responsible for their children's absences and missing homework. The school and teachers are being sued by parents who want their children's failing grades changed to passing grades.
Wow.
Even though those children were absent 15 to 30 times during the semester and did not complete enough work to pass their classes.
Wow.
So the parents are literally suing them now. To get their kids to pass.
Ridiculous. I love it. That whole thing is fantastic.
Isn't that great?
I want to listen to it again. I want to send it to my mom.
Yeah, the phone lines are lighting up with parents.
They're all going to be teachers.
Oh, yeah.
How can we get that in our school?
Hey, Charles, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love your show. Just to let you know, you guys need to put that online. I want that as my voicemail.
Joanna is putting it up online right now, so you can go to Q100Atlanta.com, okay?
Dude, I'm all over it. You watch.
did that feel like it should have come from you?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, all these teachers are calling up saying it's the greatest thing they ever heard in their lives. Hey, Heather, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
Great,
good.
Thank you.
Wonderful. I have a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and I 100% agree with it. I mean, parents not only, but the children do need to take steps to, you know, take care of their own actions.
Sure, you know, and we've talked about this a million times also, how parents make a million different excuses for their own kids. They'll judge other parents and other kids, mm-hmm. but it's when it's your angel. Mm-hmm. It's your angel. And that's such a...
But you can't sue if your kid fails... You can't sue the school.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it sounds like common sense, but I think there's some parents that just, I don't know.
I couldn't imagine.
Are so against the school.
I've got such an ass whooping when I brought home bad grades.
Oh, my goodness.
If my report card, bad grades are relative. Because, like, if I got all A's and one B, I remember getting all A's in a B in phys ed because I goofed off. And, you know, because it was like that. It was the month when you had to do the presidential physical fitness test and all the other climb up the rope. So I spent most of the gym just waiting in line. Then I remember, like, we snuck off into the other gym. We're playing basketball and all this other stuff. So we got docked. I got in trouble for getting a B in gym.
Yeah, I got kicked off my baseball team from my parents for getting a C in art.
Yes.
Because I had to keep it A's and B's.
Mm-hmm.
And I got booted for that.
It's gym. Like, some college is going to look at it and go, hey, listen, you were shooting hoop when you should have been climbing a rope. Sorry. Can't let you in.
Hey, Amy. Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I just think that is absolutely hilarious. And I don't understand how parents can't let their, can't make their kids go to school. Mm-hmm. All my life, I had maybe one absence a year. I just don't understand that, how they expect their kids to grow and to learn if they're not even sending them to school.
I agree. So do a whole bunch of other teachers. Hey, Ashley.
Hi. I was just calling to say that I love the message, of course, but I also wanted to let you guys know, in case you didn't, I'm a teacher in Gwinnett, and we are not allowed to fail students based on homework completion either.
Really?
What? Really?
So what do you pass or fail them on? Just in-class tests?
Yeah, and in-class work, we can't fail them based on participation in class or completion of homework.
That's weird.
Well, won't that sort of just work itself out, though? Like, if they're not doing the homework, sure, you can't fail them for not doing the homework, but inevitably they're going to end up failing your class anyway because they're not going to pass the tests.
Yes, a lot of times, yes.
So
except the occasional genius who is going to, you know, pass your tests and stuff without doing any work.
But I just think there's so much power has been taken out of teachers' hands slowly over time, and now you can't even grade them on everything that goes on in the class?
No, this is
That's
the
ridiculous.
Only this is the only power you have left.
I love this.
Hello, you have reached the automated answering service of your school. In order to assist you in connecting to the right staff member, please listen to all the options before making a selection. To lie about why your child is absent, press 1. To make excuses for why your child did not do his homework, press 2. To complain about what we do, press 3. To swear at staff members, press 4. To ask why you didn't get information that has already been enclosed in your newsletter and several flyers that have been mailed to you, press 5. If you want us to raise your child, press 6. If you want to reach out and touch, slap, or hit someone, press 7. To request another teacher for the third time this year, press 8. To complain about bus transportation, press 9. To complain about school lunches, press 0. If you realize this is the real world and your child must be accountable and responsible for his or her own behavior, classwork, and homework, and that it's not the teacher's fault for your child's lack of effort, hang up and have a nice day. If you want this in another language, move to a country that speaks it. Thank you for your interest in public education.
I think
the last thing is probably more offensive than anything else.
Yeah, but I think it's fantastic.
It's funny.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
We usually have cooking competitions between the Burt Show members here when we have chefs coming in to talk about different events. So we thought we'd switch it up here a little bit. Because it's on the Georgia Tech campus, we thought we'd go with the college theme. Pass out at 3, wake up at 10, for our cooking competition.
And two of our interns, currently in college, Lauren and Reshma, are taking on Burt this morning.
Why don't you guys grab a mic over here? All right, first we will talk to Reshma. This is her at Mic Music. Reshma, what school do you go to?
I go to Georgia State.
Georgia State.
Yeah.
And you are currently a senior?
Yep.
A senior.
All right.
And then there is Lauren also, intern Lauren.
Oh, this is her first time on the radio.
Yeah. Is it? And this is her first, yeah. First time for her song.
What hey, song Lauren. Is this?
Shake My...
She's looking at the mic right now with the headphones on, like she's like, this is such a weird experience.
What is this? Who sings it?
3-6 Mafia.
Okay. What school do you go to?
Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern.
All right.
As I was saying, is the judges that we have in here, what a waste of their time.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm feeling a little embarrassed. chefs are like amazing. Wow. And the fact that they're in here right now is blowing me away.
They could be back in
they're about to eat this food is really embarrassing.
They could be back in the kitchen developing some, you know, real fancy entree for next week or whatever, but nope, they're here eating their hot dogs.
Well, let me introduce you to them. First, Chef G, please grab a mic here.
I knew you were gonna go
Good
that
morning.
Route.
Is it supposed to smell like a dorm room in here?
Are you specifically talking about the food or just the musty
maybe
smell?
The food, maybe okay. The food.
Yeah. Chef G here is acclaimed and a world travel chef. He works over at Park 75. He's a 16-year veteran of the Four Seasons Hotels and Resorts.
They're supposed to be real fancy.
Yeah, they're not bad.
The Four Seasons.
Yeah, like if there's nothing on the Checkers menu,
yeah,
you know, generally you'll head on over to Park 75 and they got something on the
menu
for
you. But we'll cook up some fried chicken, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But won't you do something?
Lynn's
just
not the only one who can cook fried chicken.
I'll tell you what, if the Park 75, if you just go over there and go to the bar, what's the bar called at the Four Seasons?
The Lounge.
The Lounge. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Right. So if you're in the Lounge.
Duh, Jeff.
Yeah. The sliders. Yeah. The little, hello.
Good stuff.
You got all the little tapas, little fun food, things like that. And we just actually got a brand new pecan wood grill. So we're grilling our meat over like 800 degree pecan wood grill. And it's just delicious. Yeah.
See, now you guys have a better understanding of why this is a total waste of their time. Park 75 is one of only two mobile 4-star restaurants in Georgia for the 8th year in a row. That sounds like a big deal.
Yeah, we're proud of that.
Yeah.
We can't even get coffee filters. And he's got this pecan wood grill 800 degree thing. No. We just want a foam cup.
But this could be, you know what, it's not a waste of time, because what if in this competition we find somebody who is going to be that top chef someday, but they just don't have the budget for it, so they have made something out of nothing, and we'll find that out today.
We'll see who's got the real talent.
Yes.
It's inherent. You may not even know you have this talent. Like, I'm a little older than you, I'm seasoned, so I know.
Oh, but I know I have the talent.
Yeah, right.
But you guys may just find out something new about yourself today.
Bert had to MapQuest Kroger yesterday. He didn't know how to get there.
Will you give Chef G's last name an attempt?
Sure. Chef G's last name is Gerstekener.
Almost. Gerstenecker.
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 Yeah. Okay. And then there is Linton Hompkins, who is here also. He owns Restaurant Eugene. He's been on the Food Network's Iron Chef competition, a two-time James Beard Award nominee. I don't know anything about food, but I know the name James Beard.
Yep.
He's a biggie.
That's for Best Chef in the Southeast and was crowned one of Food and Wine Magazine's Best New Chefs in 2009.
And you're here eating boxed macaroni.
I'm here to steal ideas. We're all thieves in a kitchen.
Well, if you're going to steal from me today, you're stealing from Kraft.
That's great. They have CI grads working in their kitchens. So.
Tell everybody about Restaurant Eugene.
Restaurant Eugene is my wife and I opened it about 5.5 years ago, and it's really grounded in our Georgia ingredients. All the vegetables come from the state or the regions right there, states touching Georgia, and a lot of local farms, organic produce, a lot of seafood, and sort of just changes every night with whatever the best is.
Okay. Is it tough to get a reservation?
Not really. Yeah, we're only 55 seats, but it's if everyone didn't want to just eat at 7:30, I think it'd be wide open.
So. It's very easy to get a reservation. Call 4 months ahead of time, and we can squeeze you in at 10:15.
No, you know, and we also have, you know, Holman and Finch Public House right next door to it, and that's open till 2 in the morning, and so it gives people different sides of what we do.
All right. These are two badass chefs.
Okay. Badass. Big time.
Thank you for coming in this morning,
you're
you guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. You should be creating, seriously, some new dish that's in your head that you just haven't been able to get into the kitchen with. But thank you for being here. Okay. So what we are going to do here is we have three dishes prepared for you. The rules of engagement have been this, is that they had to be made for under $10. So these are traditional college meals. I mean, things that I lived on at San Diego State, that they're living on at Georgia State or what have you. And that was really it. Outside of that, it was game on.
Had to be made in a dorm room and for $10 or less. So that, yeah, so that was the rule.
So we will have you taste them one at a time. Do you guys know who made which?
I don't.
You do?
Well, you posted, you tweeted a little secret.
It cheated.
I did.
It cheated.
I know which one's mine.
Don't let that influence your vote. Right?
I won't influence at all. I'm very partial.
Okay. Yeah, you were trying to, I mean, boast and kind of.
Well, it's the first time I've turned the oven on since we lived in the house, I felt good about it.
and you didn't burn down the house, so accomplishments.
And Bert actually put this dish in the dishwasher for 45 minutes before he realized that it wasn't heating up. So odd. So it doesn't even feel warm.
You can actually poach salmon in a dishwasher. It's surprising.
Oh, really?
Really?
You can wrap the whole filet in plastic and put it on a cycle without any soap, and it'll come out perfectly poached.
No kidding?
Huh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay. I've got to try that.
You know, we're all going to try that and end up with salmon parts stuck all over the inside of our dishwasher.
And they didn't hear him say anything about the soap part.
Right.
Hey, that's just crazy.
All right, so one at a time, you will taste these, and you can just give us your opinion, and we will set them aside, and then what we'll ask you to do is set them from best to worst, and then we will have our final winner.
Right, and so if you you have a plate in front of you, and you just, I guess, give a description of what you see, and then let us know what you taste.
And this is a little bit Iron Chef style because
dish
the limit on the ingredients was $10. So rather than saying what the ingredient had to be, there's a limit.
Put a price limit because
a price on it,
it's probably too high for college.
And the tools that were used have to be used in a dorm room. So
right. Limited. So what do you see?
Mine was done for less than $4.
It's a pasta with cream and peas. It looks like chicken and cheese. And from my college experience, I grew up there on a lot of pasta dishes because it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a long way and it fills you up.
Sure. So.
Mine has a peppery thing in here, too.
Those are the same dish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they could only afford one pepper.
Number one.
Oh, Chef G got the pepper one.
That's awesome.
All right, Chef Chef G, what is your initial opinion?
It's seasoned nicely. It's flavorful. It's hearty. I could feel full after this.
That's a good hangover meal.
Yeah, it is. Right? Very, very creamy for something under $10.
You guys are doing a lot of what I used to do with cauliflower. Like, you poke at it a lot and move it around on the plate just because I didn't want to eat it.
I've got a lot of chicken. It's like grilled chicken. That's nice.
Okay. That was Chef G from Park 75. And your overall experience with that one, Chef Hopkins?
I think this is great. I mean, it's sort of right up my alley. I like cream sauces around pasta and chicken and vegetables. It's I bet this would be great just laid in a chafing dish with breadcrumbs on it, all toasted and bubbly. So, I mean, that's a real crowd pleaser. Something I'd make for my kids.
Okay. Cool.
All right, let's go.
Something
on
we'll see on the menu at Holman and Finch anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly. But there'll be a lot more pork in there.
So the next dish is.
Are we going to do?
Yeah, that one.
Dish number two.
that one.
The next dish is the bright orange one.
You can't do that.
Describe what you're eating.
Did you
want to
talk about
this? This is very NASA-like. Like, I could be on a space shuttle with the color on here. I think it's awesome. Great. It's little rounds of sausage, Frankfurter style with. Good mac and cheese, so an American classic.
And it's the color of a hunting vest.
If you get any of that on your clothes, it is never coming out.
Should you want to go work as a crossing guard, you just smear some of that on your shirt and you're good to go.
But it's great. The sausage is smoked.
I think my sausages have actual little bits of cheese melted right into them.
Did you put those in there? Whoever did that?
That sounded like a little kid. That was so cute. Got a little cheese in there.
Yeah, it's simple, straightforward, to the point.
Great with beer.
Which also goes with the college theme.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey,
all right.
At 7 in the morning.
Are your plans for the rest of the day going to take either of you a long distance away from a restroom? No, nobody's got like a 4-hour flight or anything, do they?
Always aware.
And now dish number three. The last one.
Chef G, will you explain us exactly what you're seeing and what you're
tasting? This looks like a pasta salad. Nice bow tie butterfly pasta, which is pleasant to look at. It has what seems to be red onions and cucumbers mixed in there, and something that looks like Parmesan cheese.
I'm starving.
I know.
I could go for a Hot Pocket.
I know.
It's tasty. Actually, the other pasta, the first pasta, would have made a nice pasta the next day as a salad. So it might have
a cold version of it the next day.
Yeah, you could have let it cool down and eat it the next day. So,
Chef Hopkins from Restaurant Eugene, what are you seeing and tasting there?
What I like about this and what I see a lot of home cooks not do is add bright acid to flavors, to dishes, to really brighten things up. And this has good acid.
From what? From the onion?
It looks like they probably dressed it with a little vinegar.
Okay.
And that really helps because it cuts through some of the fat and really anticipates the mouth for the next bite.
Of course.
Whenever I am making something very basic, I always go to bow tie pasta. Because in my mind, it makes it fancier.
It does.
So for whatever, like if I'm making a pasta salad, I put bow tie in it, and I'm like, look at that. This pasta salad is now a medley of vegetables and mayonnaise.
But it's true. The pasta shape is good to use it for that, for some type of look, and that's why we have these different shapes.
Okay, freshen it up a little bit. Okay, so let's go ahead, and why don't you guys rank those from least favorite to most favorite.
Was that bow tie one a cold salad?
It was.
And the other two are hot?
Yeah.
That's a smart move, whoever did
that. Yeah, it's something that's not going to go bad, you know.
Okay, you guys have those ranks?
I do.
Okay. Chef Chi from Park 75 from worst to best.
Worst to best? Maybe the
least favorite.
To favorite. Sure. I don't want to like get too nasty here. My least favorite was the combination macaroni and wiener.
The orange one?
Sausage.
Sausage.
Not a wiener.
It's not a sausage if it has chunks of cheese embedded in it.
I want macaroni and wiener for dinner.
I just would have loved a little bit more cheesiness, a little bit more creaminess to it.
Okay, that's my kid's fault. He kept dipping his hands in it.
Now.
The next one is the salad.
Hold on. When did he put his hands in it?
Oh, right before I made it.
Right.
And did you get new cheese?
No. Okay. He had his dirty, soiled hands and put it right in.
Salt it up a little bit.
Maybe that's what I'm feeling right now. Yeah. I don't know.
You'll hear it from my attorney.
The next best one was the farfalle or the bow tie pasta. It was nice, actually. And I agree with Linton to get a little bit of that vinegar in there. It made a nice difference to it.
Okay.
And my favorite, as far as being in a dorm room, being hungry, being someone that needs something to sustain themselves for hours of study and other things, would be the grilled chicken pasta with the peppers. I think for under $10, I think that's the winner for me.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
All right. Chef Hopkins?
I flip things around a little bit, but I agree a lot with the assessment on if I was in college, what would I want to eat to fill me up?
Mm-hmm.
My least, I think, is going to be the one with the chicken and the cream sauce, just because it is pretty heavy and sort of thick. And I think it may have just been lost a little bit by not being served piping hot. A lot of that determines a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then number two would be the smoked sausage with the mac and cheese.
Okay.
That's not smoked sausage.
It
it's a hot dog.
It is smoked sausage.
Hunter Meyer wiener.
But I love how these top chefs are not going to say hot dog.
I know.
I love that
he made this handmade artisanal charcuterie product.
Chopped it up himself.
That is bechamel.
I think his talent is wasted.
Just so you know, those are that is ground up horse. horse hooves and donkey meat. This is what that is.
And the first one then.
So I love the artisanal sausage. And then, but I do love the brightness of this bow tie pasta.
Awesome.
I think that is a real winner for picnics and, you know, going out with fried chicken and. It would be something I would eat, you know, I think again and again.
All right. Okay, so the bow tie pasta was number one for both, correct?
No. Number one and number two, but I think if we were going to do it like a point system somehow, the bow tie pasta would probably have to be the winner.
Yeah, which is Reshma. She told me she was going to smoke me.
I told you like days in advance that I was going
to
kill you.
I was afraid she was going to start crying.
But then if we get to the least favorite by far.
The least favorite by far.
According to the point system.
And Lauren, what is yours called?
Well, it's like a steam fresh bag, and I just heated that up, and then I put cut up chicken in it. So
good for you.
I don't really have a name for it.
Yeah, that's very collegey.
Good
nice.
For you.
Very
good. I got the bronze.
Linton, did you want my portion of? I would love some more artisanal sausage.
I'll tell you what the key to that right there
sausage.
Is. Like most people will make the macaroni and cheese from Kraft,
are you serious?
And then they'll make the hot dog separately.
Dude, you didn't win. No one cares.
You lost.
Like, let me just. I did come in third. I was in the top three.
That right there is that is San Diego sports logic.
Right there.
The key to making it your own is to put the grease from the hot dogs directly in your macaroni and cheese rather than just throwing the grease out.
Oh, and also, adding to that, the diaper poo from your kid's hands, just have that a little bit on the cheese.
Yeah, that's swine flu macaroni. Enjoy.
You know what, Bert? To your kids, you're a gourmet chef.
That is true. They were so impressed yesterday. Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys very much.
You'll have to get us back when we'll cook for you what we would do in a dorm room.
We would love that. You guys come back any morning you want.
That is a great idea.
Preferably a Friday morning, because Thursday nights we can all go out and we think we can pull off a Friday morning show and we're all hungover. Come in on any Friday morning you want.
And you guys are going to be out at Taste of Atlanta this weekend, right? Restaurant Eugene and Holman and Finch will be there? Very cool.
Great. And of course, Park 75 will be out there as well. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
The Bert Show. Hey, The Bert Show.
Jeff opened up a whole new world for me. God, this is so awesome.
It's going to get better, dude.
Specifically, there's one client, and he's a friend also.
Mm-hmm.
This is the healthy trim dude, Matthew. He's kind of an old school dude, and he won't text. And all he does is calls and leaves voicemail messages. And he's one of those dudes.
Oh, I don't like that.
And he's not a quick voicemail guy. He is going to tell you what is going on in every aspect of his day all day long before he gets to the business. So, you know, first of all, voicemail to me is a pain in the ass now.
Yeah, because first of all, it's like, press 1 to hear the message. Well, what else do I want to do? I'm calling voicemail. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? And then, like, it's like, I don't know. It takes way too long. It's way too annoying.
And then to have to scroll through all your saved messages to get to the new ones is a pain in the butt.
Totally.
But there's one way around that, which is the visual voicemail now that used to be on my Storm that I had, where you could see what message was sent, and you could just hit a button and you could individually listen to that voicemail.
See, that would be cool.
That is awesome. This to me is even better though. Jeff opened up my world to phonetag.com.
Oh,
this is awesome.
But it's better. Don't plug PhoneTag yet because I can save you money.
Okay.
Because I've got a better. But basically, what it does is it takes over. It's a separate voicemail box, and you set up your phone so all of your calls go to this new voicemail box.
Okay.
And then what this voicemail box does is it translates you, and this works if you have a BlackBerry or an iPhone or any device that receives emails. It transcribes, not translate, transcribes your voicemails into text that you can read and emails them to you.
Oh, that's great. Awesome.
So every time this dude leaves a long old message, it's just an email. I can read it or a text message or whatever.
And then that way you can just delete the voicemail and call him back, but you know exactly what the message was about.
You don't even delete the voicemail. You don't even get it.
You don't even get it?
There he is right now telling me. I know you're talking about me on the radio.
Is that really your phone?
He's leaving a voicemail right now, probably.
And then will you now get it in a text?
I will get it in a text.
Or in an email?
Yeah.
Email or text?
Email.
Email. Okay. And then I could text him back the answers to his email. Yep. Right. So I never we never have to have communication. I don't have to listen to his voicemail. Nothing.
Now here's the one thing to be warned about, because I've done this before. I've gotten a message from, it gets better. You didn't think it could get better? I'm going to make it better. Oh,
Lord. I don't know how.
I'm going to. Listen, wait.
Gee, Jeff, okay. How can you make it better?
Listen.
Tell us, Jeff. Tell us.
Hang on. But this is going to...
I'm not going to believe you.
I'm fully going to be selling all of us out and whatever, but it's okay. So here's what you're going to find yourself doing, though, when you get a transcribed voice. Am I like, hey, Jeff, what's up? It's Jen. I was just wondering if you sent your 5 songs to Josh for the iPod thing. I need some help. I can't think of any bad songs. Sometimes, and that's a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually written back to that voicemail.
You just
so then a computer then a computer generates your voice.
No, it goes nowhere. But you
can't reply to the
I
email.
See what you're saying. Okay.
So here's how it gets better.
You could forward the email with the reply to the person,
and give me until today because I will type these instructions up and I'll put them up online.
Okay.
But okay, here's what you need to do.
This is going to get too complicated. I can tell already.
Just
it's
get
not,
an iPhone.
And it's worth it. An iPhone doesn't do that.
iPhone, you can just pick one voicemail. You can listen to whatever voicemail
you
want.
We don't want to listen, Wendy. Hey, iPhoney, we don't want
to
listen.
The Storm had that also. But even then, you don't want to listen to a voicemail.
You want to read.
Why?
Just read.
So listen.
Okay.
You go get
enlighten
it.
Me.
Everybody needs to go right now, just Google Voice, and ask for a Google Voice invite so you can get a Google Voice number. Google Voice is the telephone system that is set up by Google, and it basically forwards to any phone that you want. So you have this number, you forward it to any phone you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you set up Google Voice, and you forward it to your cell phone, and you put it on Do Not Disturb. So then you forward your cell phone voicemails to your Google voicemail box, which has the same transcribing feature that nobody... for absolutely free, that Phone Tag has, but it's absolutely free.
And the Phone Tag one runs you, what,
about
20 bucks
a month?
30
yeah.
bucks a month.
So what happens is Melissa calls me, leaves me a message. Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, that message gets forwarded to my Google voicemail
number.
I leave
you a message that says, Happy Halloween, Jeff.
Right. Happy Halloween, Jeff. That gets forwarded to Google voicemail. She's leaving that on Google voicemail, but she has no idea. Google translates it and emails it to my Gmail account. So now I've got the written email, just like with Phone Tag, right? Mm-hmm. Here's where it gets better. You ready, Bert? Sit down.
I'm ready. I'm sitting.
Oh, sorry. So here's where it gets better. You now have two phone numbers. You've got your cell phone number, and you've got your Google Voice number that rings to voicemail 24/7 that doesn't really go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're out and about and somebody says, hey, can I have your number? And in your mind, you think, I don't want to give this person my number. I know they're going to call all the time. You give them your second Google Voice number, and your phone never rings. Told you it was better.
Woo!
So, and you don't have to pay for the other number.
And your phone never rings, and your phone never rings, and your phone never rings, and your phone never rings.
Or check it out. Check it out. It gets better. You can even do this. Listen, I finally found something I'm good at, and it is ignoring people. So I'm going to take advantage of this. It gets even better because then what you can do is you can log into your Google Voice account at any time and turn on the second number to ring to your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say that you have somebody that you want to say that you want to be able to get in touch with you during one particular day, right? Let's say...
Everybody who's had that number needs to reach you on an event day.
Right. Let's say somebody, people that bug you, so one of those people has to get in touch with you that day. You just go into your Google Voice account and you turn it on for that day, which means when they call you, it doesn't ring directly to the voicemail. It rings to your cell phone. Then once they call you, you have a conversation with them, you shut it off.
Wow.
Dude,
that is cool. Now, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
If I'm paying to have voicemail.
Yes.
From my provider.
Yes.
Can I eliminate that at that point?
I don't know. With your carrier, and I don't know with my carrier either.
So you don't
so
know?
In other
no.
Words, you don't know.
Well said.
Because I don't know if I... With cell phones, do you pay an extra amount for a voicemail box?
I don't think so. Is it automatic?
I think it's included.
It sure seems like it would be a charge because they charge you for everything.
But check this out. This also with the Google Voice thing is you can set that up. You can have it ring... So you can give that voicemail number out and you can have it ring. Let's say you're going to be at your cousin's house. You can have it ring your cousin's house for some reason if people need to call you. That you can set that Google Voice number up to go to any number at any time and you just
If you're somebody that wants to talk to somebody. But the whole point is not
is to be able to blow
anybody.
People off. But I'm saying
an emergency. Does this whole voicemail that people aren't talking to each other thing that bothers
you? No, I hate the phone. Okay. I hate
the
phone.
Melissa never answers her phone.
Yeah.
I would much rather you... I would much rather you text me or email me.
Indeed.
And I will get back to you much faster than if you leave me a voicemail.
I know it sounds.
Every time.
It's just it's the world we live in now. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds almost cold and rude, but
I hate the phone. I do.
Like talking on the phone to me is such a pain. We can do everything in 140 characters or less now.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm a former telemarketer, which will turn you off the phone quickly, but ever since I did that job, I can't stand the phone. Don't call me. Just don't call me.
I'll write up these instructions on how to ignore your closest friends and post them online sometime today. But in the meantime, go get your Google Voice invite and start blowing off the world.
Listen, it's The Bert Show.